Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN Podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom Podcast. USDN Podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved. The BCP is now sponsored by the international shiny star, Ray Kalitri. Kalitri has honed his craft traveling and wrestling all over the world, including destinations such as Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, and even Egypt. The ISPW Tri-State Champion and Golden Ticket Holder is also one of the longest reigning ECPW Light Heavyweight Champions in history. Kalitri also holds an international championship that he won in Mexico. Always known for his appreciation of world culture, the Shiny Star is also known for his taste for high fashion, lavish lifestyle, and fast cars. However, he is most prominently known around the globe for his unparalleled in-ring acumen and skill set. Be sure to follow Ray Kalitri across the board on social media, at Kalitri Ray on Twitter, at PAP1Fresh on Instagram, and Ray Kalitri on Facebook. Guys, please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the show, GPW Productions. GPW provides your promotion or event with top-tier video and audio production, live streaming, and more. I can personally vouch for them in saying they're hands down the best production company I've ever worked with, as they continue to work with the likes of AEW, GCW, StarCast, MLW, not to mention the majority of the local independent promotions here in the tri-state area. They can even help you film a vignette or promo for your persona or gimmick. And guess what? GPW doesn't just work in wrestling. They cover MMA, boxing, basketball, or any other sporting event as well. Guys, on a personal note, as always, I'd like to thank Mike Sesko, Frank Leone, O'Neill Andrews, and the team for giving me multiple opportunities to work with them and some of the best talent in the world. Book GPW for a promotion or event today at contact@gpwproductions.com. Thank you to our new November sponsor on the pod and the site, BCP Plus, the Rock and Wrestling Collector located in Stockholm, New Jersey, featuring all of your favorite rock and wrestling collectibles. This is owned by ISPW head honcho, Mr. Tommy Fierro. The Rock and Wrestling Collector makes its grand opening on Black Friday. Don't miss it, and be sure to follow at the WC Store and at 80s Wrestling on socials. Let's rock. Please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the month of November, Pro Wrestling Magic. PWM presents Holiday Road to Kingdom Come at the Mecca in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and streaming on IWTV on November 25th, featuring Cheeseburger, Darius Carter, Adina Steele, Ruthless Lala, Steve Pena, Kerr, Vinny Pacifico, Death Row, Hispanos Unidos, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsor for the month of November. Savage Kingdom presents an epic Swerve Strickland signing on December 29th in Flushing, New York. Come meet and greet one of AEW's top stars, podcast hosts, and musicians over at the Wrestling Universe. Pre-purchase link in comments for the tickets. And on a personal note, thank you, Greek Savage, for the support and always helping with our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the podcast and the site, Crusaders Collectibles, wrestling games, live signings, and more, and Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook. Crusaders Collectibles is your destination for some of the best signings, live sales, games, and more. They are mostly wrestling, but you may see some other items at times. We are a family here and want everyone to be treated like family. You'll be able to find custom edits, photos, figures, cards, belts, pops, and more here. Many of those will even be autographed. Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook features amazing auctions, sales, pick events, and even mystery drawings for some truly unique items for any serious wrestling collector. Be sure to join the group and get in on the fun. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Emil for all his support of the BCP and our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the month of September, Bubba, Kim, and Gabby, BKG. This family consistently shows their love and support for wrestlers on both the independent and national level, reminding us what this is really all about. Bubba's been a strong supporter of the BCP, primarily in our charity work, donating multiple items, time, and effort. Thank you, BKG.
Yo, listen, it's Platinum Max, part of the Acclaim, the Platinum Playboy, best wrestler alive, and you are rocking with the Bob Culture Podcast. Yo, listen, Platinum on the mic, and I'm coming for your ass. I'm listening to the Bob Culture Podcast, and I think it's the hottest show in the game, because them and everybody loves the Acclaim. Now, scissor me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very, well, big episode of the BCP. Ladies and gentlemen, this is long overdue. We are not worthy. Please welcome to the show. He is a former Pro Wrestling Magic heavyweight champion. He is a former ISPW tag team champion with Crowbar. Please welcome to the show. And now I'm happy to say and announce an official nominee for the BCP 500 Male Independent Wrestler of the Year, our good friend, Mr. Kerr. What's up, man? Welcome in. Congrats,
thank you for having me. You're right, man. Very long time overdue, man.
I appreciate it, man.
I don't do these kind of things often.
You know? I was just going to say, man, and I appreciate you making the time for me. I appreciate that trust, man. You know, we always like to put everyone over. We're not really hard hitting or anything like that, man. You're hard hitting in the ring. Yeah. That's another story, man. I don't want to start on a down note, but I just talked to Trey, man, and he said, give a message to Kerr. So I am just a messenger, man. I'm not trying to start stuff, man. You know me, just doing my job. I see you laughing already because, yeah, he thinks he's got a chance, man. He thinks he's got a chance. I'll put it that way. And he said, and I quote, these are not my words, tell Kerr I told him to stretch because I'm going to wear him out and beat the expletive out of him.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, you know, the best part about that is a couple weeks ago, Trey was interrupting my college Saturday, you know, post-match drinksky. Oh. And he didn't seem like he wanted to interrupt my shot at JMO. You know, all we had there was space and opportunity, and he didn't seem like he wanted it. So now, you know, he comes on the show, he jabs a little bit. All right, I mean, hey, he'll find out Saturday. That's all he needs to know, you know?
That's it, man. And I'll be fair, you know, just calling it down the middle here, Kerr. I'm sponsoring the match. Proud to sponsor this, man. Always proud to sponsor one of your matches, Kerr.
Appreciate
you killing it. No, dude. And thank you for the opportunity making the time here today, man. But Trey, you know, I always like to have these conversations with everybody because Trey, you know, I straight up told him, I'm like, do you think you have a chance against Kerr? Like, no disrespect, but why are you tugging on Superman's cape? And he gave me some fairly good reasons. You know, he does a lot of tag team work, a lot of trios work. He's involved with the group, as we know, and he wants to take on some of the big names at Pro Wrestling Magic. I mean, is there any level of respect for him for challenging you coming from you?
Of course. You know, I never take anybody too lightly. Everybody has a fighter's chance, you know. All you need is 1%. 1% to be in it. You know, every fighter has that lucky knockout shot. Maybe, probably not. You know, better men have tried. But, you know, maybe. Every fighter's got a chance. So I'll give him a little bit of respect. You know, he's got a little cojones. He's willing to step across for me. You know, I'm not exactly a slouch. You know what I mean? 6'4", over 400 pounds of purebred American male.
Yeah.
You know, he already knows one facet of his game is gone. He has zero strength against me. He's not going to win that matchup, as his pal Jared found out last month. Yeah. And as everybody finds out every week, every month of every year, going on 7 years now, not many people here outpower me.
No.
What people lose is the fact that for a 400-pound man, I'm extremely agile, all right? I'm not exactly a wrecking ball Ligursky over here. You know what I mean? I can move, you know? Love Shout him. Out to my former tag team partner.
Shout out Wrecking Ball. Oh, man, love Wrecking Ball. And yeah, I want to ask you this.
Who do you love more, me or Wrecking Ball?
You, right now, you, sir. Always you.
Whoa. I don't like the right now. No. We're gonna edit that out.
Yep. I have a closer relationship with you. I see you way more often too. So Kerr by far.
Of course.
I don't want to get on your bad side. Kerr, perfect segue too. You mentioned Jared Diaz, man, but I told you, you know, before we were so rudely interrupted, but you had that move of the night at Pro Wrestling Magic. In my mind, you literally took Jared Diaz, lifted him around the ring. I think Trey said it took like 30 minutes, man. It was very impressive, man. But the way you took him, he's always talking trash, around the ring. And then I was talking to you after going on those steps. Now, I've been on those steps, not to pull it back too much. They're not the most sturdy. They're a little wobbly when you're on them. But when a man of your strength and stature, sir, and carrying another human all the way up the ramp, up those stairs, and throwing him over the top rope, man, it was incredible. Is that kind of your philosophy, is to kind of, not just the big man thing, but to kind of go for that move of the night?
Not really the move of the night. I look for moments. You know, I want people to take something away because moves get lost. You know, for example, you know, what everybody remembers, you know, Shawn Michaels, well, retiring Ric Flair the first time. And What is it that everybody remembers?
I love you. I'm sorry.
It's exactly. And that's a moment. And now, for the record, before, you know, anybody gets carried away, I'm not comparing my overhead press up a flight of stairs to Ric Flair or Shawn Michaels. Obviously never. But I just want, you know, people to be impressed. You know, when I come through that curtain, when I walk through the doors, people are expecting me to do big guy shit. And excuse the cursing. I know it's allowed. I'll try to cut back on it. You know, I am a PG guy, try to be. But that's what people expect. Yeah. And, you know, you got to give the people what they want. You know, I'm not Rey Mysterio. You're not going to see me doing, you know, 619s because people are like, oh, that's ridiculous. Why would a guy like that be doing that? So I try to give people something to remember, something to maybe look forward to next time, because I've already done the just throw them into the ring. I've done it over the middle. I've done it over the top. You know, now I'm walking up the stairs, down the ramp and throwing them. You know, how do I add it? What's next? Do I go up the ramp, then up the turnbuckle? And then, you know.
We'll see with Trey, man. You better watch. He was talking a lot of trash. I'll put it that way.
You know,
way.
Something that I was looking back, and the only time Trey and I have ever worked, to my knowledge, we worked at Magic about 4 years ago. And I was the Dark Arts champion, which, by the way, you forgot to say, I'm a Grand Slam champion.
Yes, that's right. No. Grand Slam. I try
and
my best.
Northeast
man.
Wrestling Tag Team Champion, but we'll let all that, know, with Mr. Dan Moff. Yes. However, we worked a six-way with me, Trey. I'm trying to remember everybody. Me, Trey, Sunny Kiss, Solo Darling. Man, who the other four? And
he mentioned this as well. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay,
and it was good. It was something. You know, it was a very good match. And I was still pretty I consider myself very green at the time. You know, I was just kind of learning as I go, more so. You know, but you don't stop learning. You never stop learning, I should say. But and he gave me a little competition now, but guess what? I'm a little bigger. I'm a little stronger. I'm a little wiser, you know? So Saturday, you know what? I don't even – if Trey wants, we don't even got to wait. Let's hit the bar early. Let's open the show.
Wow. All right.
That's what I'm saying. Steve Off, book it. Kurt, Trey, banger to start the show. Let's do it.
I'm here for it. I'll be in your seat early. Yes, sir. Kurt, and you mentioned all these great partners that you've had the opportunity to work with, man. I remember you winning the ISPW Tag Team Championship with Crowbar. You get a tag with Wrecking Ball. You mentioned tagging with Dan Moff, man. I mean, in my mind, a lot of these guys, the Moffs of the world and Crowbars, are the measuring sticks, man, in this business, man. What is it like for you getting to work with it? Because, you know, we see your posts, you know, with Moff's share in the locker room, reserve, stuff like that. You know, we heard a lot of the kind words about Moff. I know he means a lot to Vicky and all that, man. Just what does it mean to you to work with some of these, I don't even want to say legends, just some of these measuring sticks in the business right now?
Oh man, honestly, it's great. With both Moff and Crowbar, especially, we've done some drives, man. I've done some drive, and I'm the guy. I like to drive. You know, I like to be in the driver's seat and just talking. I mean, Crowbar is the reason I got into this business.
Really,
he was kind of. I saw him and Joey Janela. I think we've talked about this somewhere else before once. But before I was a wrestler, I just got out of the Army. And
thank you for your service, man.
Oh, thank you for your support. I appreciate it. So I had gone out, and I've always been a proponent of, if you have a lot of free time, you're going to get in trouble. There's just, you know, so occupy your time, fill your time, live your life. So I got out of the Army, and I was kind of looking for something to do. I had done some mixed martial arts while I was in the military, and I was good, and I enjoyed it. But the reality is, especially in New Jersey, it's only a 265-pound heavyweight class. So me walking around here at 385, 395 comfortably, that's a big weight cut to fight. Yeah. On the flip side of that, I'd always been a wrestling fan. Actually, my dream when I was in high school was to go to a wrestling school. And then it kind of real life got in the way. And so I was at a JCW show in Hasbro Heights.
Sure.
Crowbar, Joey Janela, main event. Tear the house down. Absolutely monster show. And that was actually Crowbar's resurgence back into wrestling, really. That's what he claims made him fall back in love with wrestling. So then I don't think anything of it. Oh, at intermission, some fans are coming up to me asking me for autographs. And I'm like, guys, I'm not a wrestler.
Of course. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so my brother goes, hey, just sign it. They don't know. So I sign their shit. their faces light up. I'm like, all right, that's a pretty cool feeling. I said, okay. Fast forward a month or two, I get hurt in the gym. I had a little elbow issue. My orthopedist goes, hey, we're going to send you to physical therapy. Are you a wrestler? I said, no, I'm not a wrestler, but everybody asked me. And he's like, well, the guy I'm sending you to is, so you guys should hit it off pretty good. So he just happens by chance to send me to Crowbar.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And then so we start talking. I was like, hey, man, I saw you. I said, I remember seeing you. I said, but you weren't always Crowbar, right? And because, you know, I was a kid watching WCW. And he goes, no. I said, so we start talking and hitting it on. So we just became close because I was there 3 days a week. And I was thinking about going to one wrestling school. And he was like, no, don't go there. You should go to Ace in Union City. And he goes, shout out to Mike Morgan. He's like, Mike Morgan knows how to train big guys. You're not going to get lost in the shuffle, you know. So, and that's how it started. So I started going to Ace once. Actually, Mike relocated to Wellington. And I started going there. And that's kind of how it started. I just talk about an encyclopedia thing. I mean, even to this day, I wouldn't be surprised if while we're talking, I'm going to get a message of a clip. He's like, dude, this will look great. You know, we could do this or... And just like, think about it. My two main mentors each have about a combined 60 years of wrestling experience, you know? And so just the drives, just about, you know, like with Crowbar, it's a lot of when I was starting about life balance, you know, continuing my education, making sure I graduated while I wrestled. This way, you know, if anything happens, I always have a backup plan. But then again, the intricacies, how things work. And then with Moth, I tell you what, we could have, me and him could wrestle a tag match. It can go 8 minutes. We could drive home for 4 hours and talk for a full 4 hours about how that match that was already good could have been great, what we could have done differently, what to change, you know, and just talking just two big brain guys that know this business, that love this business. And honestly, should be in every locker room because they are just natural leaders. Yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed to be where I'm at, surrounded by people that actually care. And, you know, I know Moff is a real tough guy and a badass, but you have to earn the respect. And, you know, but once you got it, that opens up a door that he'll literally sit you down and pick your brain about where it's at and then tell you exactly where it should be at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in Crowbar, he'll never turn anybody away. You know, his big thing is, you know, like you put on your post for Crowbar being nominated for Male Wrestler of the Year, wants to work with the Young Lions. He wants to help people. He wants to teach people, you know, and he does challenge us. So I'll tell you what, man. That, as a joke one time, he joked about gassing out somebody that was 30 years younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened on accident. It wasn't even a fast fit. But and I said, I'm like, man, you know, not many – like, how do you guys walk into a locker room older than everybody, but you guys are in better shape than everybody?
Wow.
You know, it's really incredible. But, again, it's a testament to both those guys – taking it seriously, loving what they do, you know, and more so caring about how they leave the business when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that. And even Moff right now, we're working with a lot of like the Ace of Space Academy, a lot of the up-and-comers over at WrestlePro. It's so cool to see. My favorite thing about Crowbar that he said on the podcast was like, you know, he likes to put attention on being safe and not doing anything crazy, even though he does so many crazy things with his opponent. So he'll say, you know, pulling it back, I will give you a move of greater or equal value, which is bury him. Does he give you a lot of advice like that in terms of like moves and stuff like that?
All the time. Let me tell you a funny story.
Please.
It was 2019, 2020. It wasn't Kingdom Come. It was January. I had, unbeknownst to me, COVID at the very start of it.
And that'll wind you,
Yeah, only like, hey, just let us know if you've been to China. If not, we don't care. Kind of deal.
Right.
You know? So I have probably, the day before, I have about 103 fever.
Oh, gosh.
I'm wrestling Smiley for my first heavyweight championship match. And
of course,
the day of the show, I'm like, I got about 3 hours to feel better. I got to pull off this show. And I start feeling better. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I could do this. Me and Smiley, we're in the locker room. My music hits, no lie. My fever comes back and then some. I'm pouring sweat. I can't breathe. My music just hit. I'm not even out there. It's not, you know, I get performance anxiety every time, which we can talk about later.
Really? Wow.
But I'm like, oh no. I'm like, it's back. I'm like, I can't breathe. So I go out there and we do this match. And, you know, Smiley is the crazy luchador.
Yep.
And I wanted to show everybody, you know, I got a little lucha in me too. I got 400 pounds of lucha.
Here we go. Okay.
So I do an apron moonsault onto him and some security. And I knew I wanted to do something special because, you know, for me, again, moments, you know. And it has to make sense for me. I don't just do things to do things. I don't do things to pop the boys, you know, not always. It's got to make sense, you know. So the story that we were telling was it made sense. So I told Crowbar, I said, hey, stick around. I think I'm going to do something special tonight. You know, can you watch my match? And he opened the show. So he goes, absolutely, I got you. So I go back in the lock. I hit the moonsault. It was kind of like, it was like a moment of silence because everybody thought I killed three people. Yeah. And I popped up on the chair with my arms out and the roof blew up. So we get down and match is over. Get into the locker room. Crowbar gives me a huge hug. He's like, dude, that was fucking incredible. Hey, never do it again. Even Rip Rogers training with him a couple of days. He was like, hey, you got footage of it? Never do it again. You know, you don't need to do it. You got it.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, that's great, great advice. You know, even Moff will tell me, you know, certain things. Hey, you don't need to do that. There's no reason to do that, you know. And it's good because at the end of the day, it protects myself, my own physical well-being. It protects their physical well-being. And I understand entirely, you know. If God forbid, you know, I land the wrong way, you know, I could potentially end somebody's career or, you know, so that's the one thing I take pride in is being safe. Is everybody I work with, if you get hurt, it ain't going to be because of me, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'll save you from injury. I've done it before. You know, I've caught some suspect dives and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I just, safety is number one priority because at the end of the day, it means nothing if somebody walks away injured.
Yeah, very well said. That being said, though, I am finding that clip as soon as this is over because that is amazing. I am here for that, Kerr. That's awesome, man.
It's somewhere on my Instagram page.
Okay, I'll find it.
Scroll through deep enough.
I'll find it and I will share it for sure, man. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know what? Let's talk because you mentioned it, man. And again, I don't want to dig too deep, but you talked about it. You mentioned it before. You still get the nerves before you go through the curtain a little bit, man.
All the time, man. Every time, honestly. When I'm in singles, I'd say it's worse than when it's in you know, when I'm tagging. And I think that's just more so, you know, all my partners, you know, everybody I've teamed with, for even Wrecking Ball included, you know, it's just kind of like, all right, like we got this there. And I've never asked any of them if they, you know, deal with it or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I'm on deck is when it starts hitting. And for the longest time too, I would always sit, no bullshit, I would sit there the day of the show, and I would know it was coming because I had a pre-show routine that I stuck to like clockwork. And no matter what the show, I would wake up. I was at the gym from 9 to 10:30. I would get a pump of what I call my show muscles, you know, chest, arms, nice. Shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
I would go to the bagel store. I would get bacon, Taylor ham, egg and cheese. All well-done meat on an everything bagel, and that's all I would eat all day. I would drink water because I didn't want to be bloated, but I knew I needed the carbs. You know, I'm bloated, 400 pounds, go figure.
You needed fuel, man. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so then, and all day I'm like, man, why do I do this? Why am I You know, like, I know I'm going to mentally suffer later. Like, it's not going to be enjoyable. You know, what am I doing this for? You know? And, you know, I still get nerves before, you know, I go out every time. And, but it's, man, for a while it was bad. And I contemplated retirement pretty much every show.
Really?
Every show it would get bad. I'm like, what am I doing this for? I was like, if I'm doing this in front of a couple hundred people, I said, what's it going to be like in front of thousands of people, 100,000 people? You know what I mean? But lucky for me, the second I'm through the curtain, it all fades. It all, like, that, you know, Adam Kerr is in the locker room and Kerr is out on the stage. And I, that switch, like, it flips incredibly. The worst, though, honestly, the worst it ever was me and Crowbar and I ran a Rescue Mania show.
I remember Rescue Mania, right.
Remember the first one?
Yes.
Me and Crowbar one-on-one. Main event. I have a John Cena-esque WrestleMania entrance with veterans and firemen holding flags while I come down to Toby Keith. Well, the DJ messes up.
No.
Let's pull back the curtain a little bit. DJ messes up and sends me out first instead of Crowbar. So I'm in the stairs trying to get my head right. And all of a sudden, somebody grabs me. Hey, DJ messed up. Your entrance is on now. Everybody's out there. I turn white as a ghost. I'm like running to the stage. I come back, and that's another clip. If you can find that entrance, you could see me. Not an ounce of I'm the big baby face. Not an ounce of enjoyment on my face. I come out there, and I'm like, oh no. I was like, man, we're about to go 45 minutes and I have no idea what I'm going to do. I completely just shut down. I'm doing all the pictures with the flags. And, you know, I had actually a kid jump the guardrail to take a picture with me. And I'm doing all, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I remember when he got to the ring after me, I'm just staring at him. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. We're going to have to go home now. You know, and then lucky for me, as soon as we made contact with each other, it was like my computer rebooted. I was good to go. But man, it felt like I was out there for a year and a half. Yeah. You know, it felt longer than my deployment being out in that ring. Yeah. Like, holy crap. Like, what am I going to do right now? But yeah, no, it's a lot of guys I've talked to. You know, that have made it, so to speak.
Right.
You know, it's apparently not an uncommon thing, you know. So that's good to know that I'm not alone. But man, when you're going through it, does it feel like you're alone?
I never would have guessed you had that, man, until you shared that. I remember you coming out, handing out the American flags, man. And I've seen pretty much every incarnation the past couple of years of Kerr. We talk about Percival Payne. We talk about some of your tag team partners.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference? To me, I always see you more as a baby face, man. I mean, you're good just because you're so incredibly kind. I love working the backstage promos with you because, let's be real, everyone just kind of picks on me, but you're very nice to me. I appreciate that, man. But that being said, man, do you prefer more of the baby face work, or do you kind of miss more of the heel stuff, or what do you prefer?
I don't have a preference, honestly. It really all just depends on who I'm working on, you know. The good thing about being a heel is, you know, take your time. You know, you're dictating the pace. Babyface is good, too, because, you know, who doesn't want to be loved, you know. But the biggest thing is as long as they care about you, you know, whether they love you or hate you, you know. As long as the people care, and, you know, as long as the people care one way or another, I'll be there. You know what I mean? Once that give a crap starts dwindling, all right, yeah, maybe time to go, you know, because that's ultimately what you're looking for. You're looking to elicit those responses, those emotions from people. You know, I remember when I was a heel, my first championship, I don't know if you remember my Dark Arts championship win.
I think that was before my time, but yeah.
That might have been before your time, but at the time, there was a wrestler that was, you know, I mean, he's since, I guess, canceled now or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Apparently just not a good guy, mm-hmm. but he was as popular as they come. And they we at Magic, they rented out a whole an entire fan section, rented out an entire one quarter of the building just to see this guy wrestle. And then I came in and I squashed him in 2 minutes.
Really?
And talk about heat. And I walked up, and for a second, while I'm in the ring, I'm like, man, I'm like, these guys might actually jump me. And then I was like, you know what? Let's try this out. And I remember I jumped out, and I had friends that I went to high school with that I didn't know were coming to the show. So until they started posting pictures of me and like sending me stuff, and I jumped down and I got in like pretty much everybody in that section's face, and they were like, oh, maybe not, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good, you know. It's just getting the reaction is always good, you know. I love both. I just love this. You know what I mean? In the falls, normally, I coach youth football.
Yeah.
So, actually, my kids are playing their championship game on Saturday.
Congrats. Yeah. I don't want to get too personal, but that congratulations, man.
Hey, man.
So this is, you know, football?
Football. I coach. So, I'm the head coach for fifth and sixth grade kids.
Good for you.
We're in our right year, you know. We have 4-4, you know, missed the playoffs by game. It happens. But our program, the 7th and 8th grade kids, are the ones that I'm normally with. And we're about to go back-to-back, God willing, this Saturday night. So after Magic, actually in the same town, here's a plug. You get done Pro Wrestling Magic, hop on over to the field at Richfield Park and see my boys go for back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
Let's go. I'm hyped for you, bro. Good luck to you. And thank you for doing that, man. Thanks. I teach kids as well, man. I appreciate you doing that, man. That's awesome.
Great. Honestly, it's so great, man. You know,
like you said earlier, just like, you know, keep busy, you know, keep kids out of trouble and stuff like that. I appreciate
it. Exactly. Exactly. We were talking about it with another coach last night, and I said, you know, not for nothing. Like, I'm looking around. I said, throughout all three levels, we have 130 something kids in our program. I said, that's 130 kids that are off the streets, you know, that, you know, would maybe get into trouble, maybe get hurt, maybe, you know, they're here, they're focused, they have something to look forward to, you know. I'm like, and that's huge, and that structure helps them because they realize, like, hey, you know, especially in season, you can't get in trouble in school because you're not going to play, you know, especially me. I'm very strict with a lot of things, you know.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for doing that, man. And also, I want to thank you again, man, for your service in military, man. Man, tell us a little bit about whatever you want to divulge, man, about your decision to kind of, you know, serve the country, do all that hard work, man. And thank you again for your service, bro.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your support. So kind of, man, honestly, it's always been something that I've thought about, you know. I started working straight out of high school. You know, I actually lived on my own while I was still in high school. And then, well, not on my own, but, you know, with family, friends and stuff, I had already moved out. And so then I was working, and then obviously that translated over into me working full time once I got out. So I didn't have the traditional, you know, go to college route. And I was working, and it was just kind of one of those, is this really what I want to do forever? You know what I mean? Kind of moments. And I remember I was sitting in my friend's backyard on a random Friday night, and it was like 3 a.m. and it was just kind of like almost an epiphany. Like, what am I doing with my life? You know, working this job, it was, there were no benefits. There was no future. There was no anything. It was just work. You know, it was a paycheck, which is fine. You know, you need paycheck to pay the bills. But, I was like, I got to do something. So I'll never forget. I called the recruiter at 3:30 a.m.
No way.
I found an Army recruiter. I called him at 3:30 a.m. I left my information. I said, hey, I understand it's Friday night. You're probably not going to get back to me till Monday morning. But, you know, this is what I want to do. You know, let's make something happen. And he actually got back to me Saturday morning. He got back to me within a couple hours. I was like, hey, you know, if this is something you want to do. And, you know, the rest is history. I enlisted in 09 and, you know, did my boot camp at Fort Benning. You know, my first duty station was in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And it was, you know, the craziest part of that was I went to Alaska in January. Bro, it was -48.
Are you serious?
I slipped. I left the airport. I slipped. I fell. I hit my head. I'm looking up at the sky. I'm like, nah, this ain't it. I pick up my bags. I walk back to the ticket counter. I said, "Do you have any flights to Newark?" And the airports are two terminal airports, so they knew exactly where. So they're like, "Sir, didn't you just get here?" I said, "Yes." And now I'm leaving because I'm not living up here for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
I was like, "There's no shot of this."
Yep, yep.
And so then, you know, I ended up staying. But the crazy thing is, all my guy friends went to Hawaii. All my girlfriends went to Korea. Why did I go to by myself to Fairbanks, Alaska?
Yeah, right.
You know, but I tell you what, man, that was a great experience too. You know, I try to make the best of everything. But I met some really cool people that live up there and from there. They're still there. You know, the guys in my unit were awesome guys. I keep in touch with almost every one of them.
That's awesome.
And, you know, and that same group of guys, the same group that I did deploy to Afghanistan with, you know. So we all did a year together, and, you know, I still talk to all those guys almost every day, you know.
Love that.
So that's awesome. It was a big thing because then when I came home, first off, the life experience is completely – sorry, my dog. Come here. Come say hi. Come on.
We'll take the dog cameo if we can get it. Yeah. I know.
Let's see if he'll come up. Come here.
I know he's got the travel pillow.
I know. Oh, he's knocking the table.
Yeah.
Nah, he won't come up. But
it's okay.
You know, we went and just like the life experience just mellows you out so much. You know what I mean? You know, I try to tell people I really don't have too many bad days here because I've experienced bad days before.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know, it's just a perspective thing. And I grew up a lot. You know, I was able to come home, go to school, go to college, which was, you know, my plan all along. And I remember when I went, I actually did a five. This is a small known fact. I have my master's degree in psychology.
Really? And, good for yeah. you, man. Wow. This
so
guy.
I did a 5-year program at Fairleigh Dickinson in 3 years just because I wanted to get done.
Wow.
And because to me, it was just all I have to do is show up and do the little bit of homework. That's it. That's my job. And, you know, thank God for the post 9/11 GI Bill. They paid for everything in full.
Wow.
The VA paid me to go to school, you know, so I didn't have to worry about trying to juggle a full-time job with going to school. School was my job, you know, and I was going to get done as quick as possible.
Wow.
So I was able to graduate in 3 years with my master's and my bachelor's in forensic psychology.
That is wild. I got a bachelor's. It makes a great paperweight.
Don't worry, say it.
but no, that's impressive, man. Respect, man, for doing. First of all, I bet the military loved when you called up and like, "Hey, I want to join." They're like, "Come on in, brother." They're thrilled to have you, man. But the master's in psychology, man. Mad respect for that, man.
Yeah.
He's psychoanalyzing all these guys in the ring too. So you guys gotta watch
him. You know, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
That's how, you know, I got big muscle up here too. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, mad respect.
Not just show muscles.
Yeah, no, that's right. Not just show muscles. You mentioned earlier about having the dream before you went to the military. I hate to be cliche here, but were you a fan as a kid, man? Because you mentioned it being the dream, you wanting to go to wrestling school and all that. Was there performers that you connected with, heroes on TV, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, man. For me, Undertaker's been my guy since, you know, day one. I'm sure everybody says that. That's cliche. Honestly, I started out more of a WCW guy. Because I feel like that's what I was first exposed to. And then growing up, with my uncle, well, not with my uncle, but I would always watch Monday Night Raw and Nitro with my uncle, you know, and it was like a routine. We would get together, he would make chocolate chip cookies and we would watch wrestling. You know, nice. that was the routine, like clockwork, you know, all the time. But yeah, man, the Undertaker was like, everything he did was just great. You know, I cared about it. Yeah, that's been my number one, man. You know,
great answer.
You know, I love DDP too. I think part of it was because, you know, when they were like, "Oh, I'm from New Jersey," I'm like, "Hey, I'm from New Jersey." You know, as a kid, you know, you relate to that kind of thing. And then a little that I know is a DDPY program would then go on to, you know, not an exaggeration, save me, you know, after the military.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It saved a lot of people, but really it helped you as well.
Oh, absolutely. When I got out of the Army, not to get sidetracked from my
family. Yeah, I didn't just find that interesting. Whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
When I got out of the Army, I hurt my back in Afghanistan really bad. Mm-hmm. And when I got out, it was kind of like, hey, well, there's nothing we could do for you. You know, like the way you hurt it. So I was like, oh, well, that's not good. So at the time, I was out of shape. I couldn't lift because it was too painful. I couldn't do anything, you know, getting
in
a bed.
Wrestling too, or not yet?
No, I wasn't wrestling yet. Okay. I was strictly fresh out. Okay. And I was in a lot of pain all the time. And I saw the video, and I think the guy's name was Arthur. Though he's a veteran himself. And this video of him not being able to walk, and then now he's running sprints because of the deal. I'm like, I don't know. That seems kind of suspect, but I was like, all right, let's try it. So yeah, I bought the DDPY, you know, with the meal plan and everything, and I started doing it. And man, within like 2 months, I was able to be back at the gym. So I went from like not doing anything to being able to go back to the gym to then being able to wrestle. And even now, I still do it to this day. I just recently restarted a couple months ago, doing it again because I flexibility, is everything, especially in this business. So, it was a huge difference. Without that DDPY, you probably never would have seen me wrestle. Wow. You would have never – I was in such a bad place from just not being able to do anything because I've always been active, you know. So then, to have something take that away, I was devastated, And that DDPY was definitely a godsend. So big thank you to that. I've actually never met him in person. But when I do, he'll be the first one to hear it. Sincere, thank you.
We're clipping this for the commercial. We're tagging him. That's a free advertiser right there. The lady who cuts my hair, her husband grew up with him, Point Pleasant area, Jersey Shore area, all the clubs life and stuff like that. So I'll make sure this gets to him one way or another That's so cool to hear, man. And Kurt, I want to be respectful of your time, man, but I got to ask you, man, what are like the short-term goals for you right now in wrestling? And then also the long-term goals, I always call this like the list season. They just came out with the PWI list. We're getting all these different culture lists coming out, man. We have our year-end awards coming out. You just got the nomination here tonight, man, because you had a stellar year, former heavyweight champion. You have tag gold as well, man. Right now, what are the goals for you right now on the independents and for Kerr as a whole moving forward?
Honestly, just keep on keeping on, I want the big matches. I want, the big crowds. I want the good shows. I want the good competition. I want to be with people that are going to challenge me. I don't want the Trey Felipe's of the world.
Oh, that was a dig.
Trey's a great athlete. Yes. No, but I want those matches. And really, I just want to have fun. I want to stay safe. I want to, keep growing. If I could get more places with Moff, with Crowbar, with Wrecking Ball, the sky's the limit. There's thousands of opportunities now. As far as TV deals, my goal when I started this was honestly never to get signed. Okay. It was never, I'm going to main event at WrestleMania. I'm going to this. My goal from day one has always been have fun. And that's it. At the end, once it stops being fun for me, then I'm done, that's it. It's a blessing and a privilege to be able to step through the ropes. I know there's plenty of people that have and can't anymore. I know there's plenty of people that have never been able to. The fact that I can still go at a high level and I can still enjoy it in spite of my pre-show anxiety. That's my goal, man, is just keep going. Keep having fun and keep making memories. Not every memory made on the road in the show and is posted on the social medias. Some are, just for me, and to have more experiences. I would love to go back up to 907 and to WrestlePro Alaska, which, by the way, quick plug, please, if you want to see a great Danny Moff match, Watch Moff versus Bobcat at Russell Pro Alaska.
Okay.
Right out of the watch. It's an amazing car wreck of a match. And I mean that in the greatest way possible.
It's going on the list. I got a couple matches to watch tonight.
So that is that is one you want to watch, trust me. But yeah, I you know, I'd say coming to 2024, maybe try to get a foot in the door in an NWA, you know, maybe an MLW, an Impact, you know. There's tons of opportunities out there, a lot of good guys and a lot of companies. And honestly, just use my platform that I have for good, to help people, you know. I do a lot of things. I do a lot of work in the veteran community. Every year, the Knights of Columbus and an organization around here called Catholic Charities put on a tank pull every June.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Usually the weekend of June 10th. Last year, I pulled it by myself.
No, you didn't. Stop it.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They're trying to tell me that an 8-year-old beat my time, which I'm not buying, clearly.
Okay.
But, yeah. You know, I didn't win the 8-year-old one, but I guess, you know, memories.
There's heat there, yeah.
But, yeah. So, you know, I try to just use my platform for good, man. You know, I do a lot with veterans. I do a lot with kids, obviously. I haven't done it recently. But for a while, I was talking to at-risk kids, you know, not even – and honestly, it wasn't even like, hey, you need to change your life. It was more like, hey, talk to me. What's up? You know? There's you know, like everything you're doing, I know 100 people that have done that. You know what I mean? The difference is either they didn't get caught doing it or, you know, they figured out why they were doing it and changed it. You know, because as every level you're at, there's 10 people below you looking up, wishing that they were where you are, wishing that they had your opportunities, wishing that they had your life, you know? And I've been there. I think we've all been guilty of, you know, looking up like, man, I wish I was that guy. And you're like, yeah, well, there's a lot of people that wish you were here too, you know?
Yeah.
So every now and then I have to remind myself of that, you know, that, hey, you know, I did work to get here and I'm not where I want to be, but there's a lot of people that wish they were here too, you know? And honestly, like I said, just helping people, man. Like a shoot scenario, I have a nonprofit that I want to start within the next couple of years.
Please. Yeah.
Working with, you know, veterans, veteran homelessness, veteran unemployment, all that stuff. And I sat down one day, and maybe it was like a manic moment or something, I don't know. But I drew out this whole blueprint of exactly how it would work if I were, you know, up in that big company in Connecticut. You know, exactly how it would work. And basically, you know, it's going city to city, and it's like, okay, well, I'm in Houston tonight. Let me figure out these homeless veterans in Houston. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to be in Phoenix. Let me go to the you know, it's not difficult. You just have to want to. And you want to be able to get hands dirty. So hopefully within a year or two, I can launch that, whether, you know, it's wrestling backed or not, you know. But I just feel like, you know, somebody asked me once, what would be my goal in wrestling? When do I know that I made it? And honestly, my answer was Mark Henry. Mark Henry, before he was in AEW, I've met him a couple times, and just a genuine guy, a lot of community service work. And, you know, he understands that his position is blessed and he's able to help others. You know what I mean? He's done a lot of veteran charity events that I happen to be a part of. He actually happened to be at my tryout when I had a tryout a few years ago. No. And he remembered me from it. He's like, hey, man, glad to see you down here. And, you know, just shooting the shit. But, you know, his spot, that he gets it. That's what, you know, I would want to do that. The Titus O'Neils of the world, you know, like, hey, you got this great job in ring and it's great and it's awesome. But also you remember, like, hey, it's bigger than you. You know, the most impressive thing about John Cena isn't the 15 world championships. It's the thousands of Make-A-Wish grants. You know what I mean? Like that's what it's all about, man. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, that is what it's all about. And that's the great thing about this business, in this industry, is that you have the ability to reach out and, you know, even if it's just somebody having a bad day, you know, That's my soapbox speech.
No, dude, I love it, man. You know? I couldn't have any more respect for you. I certainly have it now, man. And thanks for working with the kids, man. Thanks for the idea with the nonprofit, man. You know, we got to get in some people's ears about that, man, because you're the guy for the job. I love that, 100%. Man. Last one from me, man. This is our favorite question to ask everybody. Say you do get that WrestleMania entrance, that big pay-per-view entrance, wherever you are, what band or artist plays you down to the ring?
Oh, man. So, I'm going to go. Can I have two answers?
Of course. Yeah, you, please.
All right. So, my first answer has got to be my very first concert I ever saw. Been a fan of them my whole life, Metallica.
Got
to be a Metallica. As cliche and, you know, as indie-rific as that may be.
I love it.
Metallica. But on the flip side, I'm a huge country music guy.
Yeah, okay.
So it would have to be something by either Garth Brooks or Toby Keith.
Yeah.
But you don't see a lot of country music in wrestling business today, you know? It's real tough to get. I don't know. Maybe me and you are the ones to change that.
Hey, man, I got the drum set, man. Whatever you need, brother. As long as we're not using that Lars Ulrich St. Agger snare drum. That wasn't my favorite. But other than that, the other stuff's good.
What a phase, man. Exactly. You know what's funny is like, and I've tried to hate that album.
Right.
But I'm like, all right, it's not bad. It's just not good.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you know
there.
What I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you're in a new town and you got to eat, you're like, all right, what am I going to eat? All right, I'll eat some pizza. I'm in the middle of Indiana. How good's the pizza going to be? It's still pizza. You eat it, you're like,
yeah.
You know, that was me in Knoxville one time. I ordered a meatball parm and a pizza from a pizzeria in Knoxville. Best pizza in Tennessee. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
We're spoiled in New York and Jersey. We're spoiled.
Without a doubt. Oh, that's the one reason why I don't think I could ever leave.
Yeah, that's fair, just man. Kurt. Dude, thanks for a few minutes. It's so good. I love doing these with you all. I've always had mad respect for you. It's always good to get to know you a little bit better, man. I just want to wish you continued success moving forward. But before we get out of here, dude, tell everyone where they can follow you, get the merch, all that good stuff.
Hey, Instagram is my main one. Instagram, Twitter, X.
Yeah, whatever.
World_O_Kerr.
World_Kerr. Love it, man.
And follow me, check me out, support me, and come to some shows. Watch some IWTV. What a great gimmick that was, by the way. You know?
What's
people
that?
People from IWTV, streaming indie show. You know, shout out to GoPro Wrestling.
Love GoPro.
You know, they are the best in the business, by the way, at all of their stuff. Second so far in the rear view. Couldn't even tell who it is.
That's fair, man. GoPro is a gold standard, brother.
Yeah, GoPro. And those guys I've known those guys since I'm 17 as well, by the way.
Really?
No kidding. Shoot coincidence. They were filming a show at Ace. I walk in and Mike is like, Adam? I'm like, no. Yep, him, O'Neill. Oh, yeah. I've known those guys a long time. But yeah, absolutely. The best. And they're best at live streaming, best at post-show production, best at all of it.
Love it. Current sponsors of the BCP right now, and they've given me some opportunities to do some production with them out of StarCast. So love Mike, Frank, O'Neill, all those guys. Shout out. But Kurt, we love you too, man. Thanks for making the time. I know this is a rare interview for you. Thanks for making the time. Continued success, brother.
No problem, brother. No place I'd rather be. Thank you so much for your time. All the questions. A great conversation. And sorry the dog won't make an appearance.
No, it's okay, man. Go spend the night with your dog, man. I'm going to go see my dog right now. Thanks for the time, bro. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We are at peace.
Have a good night.